Hi there, Pam Foster here from AWAI. Did you know that there's an emerging way for writers to make money by creating their own assets, their own audience, and their own income? It's called the creator economy, and we're going to go over that in this session. We'll show you five different ways writers from all walks of life are making loads of money writing about their passion and creating videos and other assets too that are all theirs. So stay tuned to see what it might mean for you. Hey, welcome everybody to our December Inside AWAI, the last one of this year. And we're very excited about this topic. We have packed it full of stuff. So I hope you have your seatbelt on because we're going to be racing through an amazing epiphany that we had that everyone who wants to write and make a living should sit up and take notice because it's pretty exciting. I'm Pam Foster, Learning Chief at AWAI, and I'm here with our copy chief, Sandy Franks. Hi, Sandy.
Hey, hi, everybody. I had to see so many people here. We've got a great subject to talk about today.
Yes, we do. And we also have an awesome behind the scenes team to answer your questions. Please put them in the Q&A so we can see them and answer them. And Sandy and I will glance over there too, but we have a lot to cover. So I'm not going to waste any more time talking about us. It's all about you. And the theme of this session is Revealed, the Emerging Creator Economy, how writers, that's you, can develop a lucrative side income creating their own information products, maybe not even a side income, maybe a full-time gig. So let's see what we're talking about. And Sandy and I are just going to chat back and forth as we go through this. Sandy, just jump in if I'm talking too fast and don't let you jump in.
Okay.
Wave your arms or something.
All right.
Okay, good. So the goals for you today, dear viewer, I'm so glad you're here, first of all, but there are clientless opportunities for building wealth as a writer, and we want to show you what those look like, because you may not even be familiar. We picked five of our favorite. There are probably others, but we picked the five that are proven ideal for writer models. So bear with us. We're going to show you each one, and we actually have input from at least one writer who is making a living doing that thing we're going to tell you about. So we want to have you meet these writers. They call it, living a purpose-driven writer's life because they get to write about something they really care about and what it takes and doesn't to build your own audience, assets, and income. And then we'll have time for Q&A as always. So we're just going to dive right in. And Sandy, take it away. I know that you were the one who really prompted this particular topic for us to cover it. And I'd love to know why you were excited for us to present this today.
Yeah. And, and when we were speaking before we went live, and it's like this whole creator economy has been alive for a while, but it didn't get on my radar until a couple of months ago. And I don't even remember how I stumbled onto it. Honestly, maybe some of the people I followed on Twitter and then realized there were other people on LinkedIn and they were calling themselves content creators. So I was like, what? And so I dug in and started researching and then realized this is a huge opportunity for people who love to write because everybody who was creating content was writing. And the other thing I found, a lot of people who were being content creators, they didn't come from a writing background, but they were learning to write and they were writing on things that they loved and making money from it. And I was just blown away. So I thought, we have to talk about this. We have to let our AWI members know there's another way for you to be able to make money as a writer and not have to focus on getting clients. And just write on things that you love and build a following, build an audience, and you'll have fun doing it because it's something that you love writing about. And it's actually what I'm finding. I'm doing it myself and I'm like, I can't stop. It's like, I can't stop myself from writing the thing that I want to write about. And then when you see that you can get an audience and a following, that's even more exciting because you're like, well, people are actually reading this thing that I created from scratch. So I think it's an exciting opportunity. It's a huge opportunity for everyone to get involved. I don't think it's going to slow down at all, no matter where we are in the state of economy. This is continuing to grow. People are wanting to do things for themselves, and this is the perfect way to jump into the creator economy.
Yeah, and I'll say that among our members at AWAI, if you're not a member yet, we have thousands of people who every year talk to us about, you know, I really want to write about this. I have a passion about this topic, or I'm helping someone get through this issue, and I'd love to write about my experience on that. Where can I do that? And, you know, we kind of have always steered them toward niche markets and clients who are in that realm as well. But you don't have to go there. You can just go and create your own assets and your own platform to get your word across. So that's what we're talking about today. And we just have a few definitions, and then we're going to plunge into the five models. So HubSpot, which is a very awesome authoritative website on all things related to marketing and email and video and whatever's going on online with digital content and everything, they were saying creators from YouTubers to bloggers share content with audiences and generate revenue from monetization opportunities. In other words, they make money from their content. And then the top types of creators are educational creators, bloggers, coaches, writers, and artists. So raise your hand if you want to be a writer, coach, artist, blogger, any of those things. I see a bunch of hands. I really don't, but I can feel them. So now Streamlabs, which is an authoritative website on all of this as well. I don't want to read every single word here, but I will, because it's important that you feel like maybe you found your home. Content creators publish the digital material that comprises the online world. They're grabbing the attention previously allocated to traditional media and companies, I might add. And as a consequence, they're changing video, consumer habits, and perhaps most significantly, consumer spending. So that's where the money comes in. These changes are giving rise to an entirely new economy, the creator economy. The people creating content for a topic are truly and authentically passionate about it. So that's why we're here today for you guys. All right, now, is this a big deal? Well, yes, it has been for quite a while. And actually, one of the examples I'm going to talk about, Nick Usborne, he's been creating his own content and his own assets and website for years now, but it's become a movement. Everybody can create their own blog post overnight, or create videos from their house, or whatever. It's, I think the pandemic has fed this creative force from anywhere, yes, more than anything else. So I just wanted to show you a few examples. When Sandy and I first started talking about this, I went online and went, what is creator economy? And I found all these resources talking about it, a guide to the creator economy, Signal Fire's creative economy market map. What is the creative economy? So it's pretty exciting. It's just a boom. We want you to be part of it. All right. Want to go through some stats here, Sandy?
Yeah. So as we keep saying, it's a big thing, and it is. And look at this. It's currently estimated to be $104.2 billion. That is huge. That's how much it's grown and will probably continue to grow. And then 61% of content creators say they post content for fun. That's what I was saying earlier when I started. I can't stop doing it. It's just so fun and addicting in a good way, because you're writing when you become a content creator. You're writing regularly. And so what's happening is you're practicing your craft of writing and you're getting really good at it. But then you find out you're writing with something you really like, which makes it fun. 34% because they're passionate about the content, and 31% to explore a potential new hobby. So it can be, it's any of this. Do it for fun. It's a hobby. It's something that be a content creator and decide you don't want to monetize it and you just want to share your content. Or you decide, yeah, I'm going to make money from this. And it's so possible to do. And here, 58% of creators produce 2 to 4 types of content. So that could be a blog, a newsletter, a course, your own course that you develop, there's just endless emails. There's just endless ways to create content and get into this whole content economy.
Yep. So now, drum roll, I don't know if you can hear that on my desk, but we want to show you five models that you might get super excited about, because anyone can do this. Anyone. I'm not kidding. So here we go. Bada boom, bada bing. The first one is the money-making website. Now, you guys have heard about this probably if you follow AWAI at all, but it's rocking more and more than ever. And we have two wonderful people who were willing to share their stories with us. You can write about anything. So when you're doing a money-making website, your goal is to attract followers or readers and then earn money from their traffic. So you may review a product and they click on that product and buy it. You earn a commission from that. Or you may get so many followers that companies go, hey, can I put an ad on your blog post? Sure. And you get money from that. You might produce assets like eBooks and other things, and we'll get into that. But that's all from your money-making website. And look at these topics over on the right. We already have members who have dove into this. And some are writing about sushi. Some are writing about the law of attraction. We have a tea website, all kinds.
It just shows how wide open it is.
Yeah. And somebody's asking if it's the gig economy. And nope, the gig economy is more like hiring a DoorDash driver to deliver your food, or Lyft driver, those kinds of things. Those are gigs like that. This is you creating your own. You own it. And so that's why it's so exciting, because you can build your own asset online. So I just wanted to show you, we talked to Holly Hannah. My clicky isn't going through. Okay, Holly Hannah, who used to work for AWAI several years ago, and then she had a baby and left the working world. And she had been a nurse before that. So she started the Work at Home Woman. And that was in around 2010, 11. And it's huge now, you guys. So she said, how did I find this niche? When I had my daughter, I left my nursing career to become a stay-at-home mom. I started looking for new occupations I could do remotely. I researched for months, and yet I still didn't know what to do. A friend suggested I start a blog about working from home. I have been blogging about home-based careers since 2009, so you could say that my niche found me. Now I said, well, how long did it take before you felt successful? And she said, well, success is an ever-moving target, and many milestones along the way have made me feel successful. Her first sale, the first time she was featured on Forbes magazine, the first time she was mentioned in a book, and then when her website hit 100,000 page views in 1 month, that was a biggie, and gaining 200,000 TikTok followers in a year. So she really knows what she's doing, but it's all been scrappy. Like, I'll try this, I'll try that. Oh my gosh, people are really, you know, liking what I'm posting. She said, but for her, success is doing work she loves and getting well paid.
And that to me is such a great, that is a great quote right there, that end statement, where that is success, doing something you love and getting paid for it.
Yep. And we asked each of these people that you're going to meet what their number one tip for you would be. And hers is, the advice is so cliche, but just do it. Take the first step and start. Whether it's taking a course, pitching a client, or applying a freelance gig, put yourself out there. Starting my blog was by far one of the best decisions I've ever made. I've never been happier or earned more professionally. And it's all because I was willing to take a chance on the unknown. So that's Holly. And then I want to introduce you to Nick Osborne. In case you don't know Nick, he is a digital marketing expert. He teaches some of our courses, but also he has a side thing called coffeedetective.com. And he developed this site years ago. And what he does is talk to people about creating gourmet coffee at home and getting the right kind of coffee and the right kind of brewers and all of this other stuff. So I said, well, how did you choose that niche in the first place? Well, working with a client in the coffee industry, it was a big job lasting 6 months. And at the end, after months of deep immersion in the coffee business, I asked myself, hey, after completing this project, I know a huge amount about the retail coffee industry. How can I monetize that knowledge? And the answer was, ta-da, coffeedetective.com. He said, there are three different ways to measure success. It was successful in giving me pleasure as a creator from day one. It was successful in making me proud of creating a valuable resource, maybe 3 to 4 months after launch. He was starting to see the traffic come in. And then it became successful in making me a modest side income after about 9 months. And it became a lot more successful as a source of income after 18 months. I know Nick calls this his retirement income plan. This website, sometimes $7,000 a month, sometimes more. Pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. Now, so with that, he also decided just like a year and a half ago, I'm going to do another one, incrediblemushrooms.com. So that's a picture of that. And I went, Nick, what the heck? And he goes, yeah. Well, you know, I'm into mushrooms too. And more people are getting excited about mushrooms. So I'm going to be big when it comes along. And his tip for you is do what he did, write or create something that really interests you a lot. He said, sometimes content creation is a hard grind. I mean, you really have to keep going and producing content, but so you have to be passionate about it or you might give up. And then he said, choose a topic where you feel comfortable stepping out from behind the curtain and interacting with your audience through blogs and forums and chats and things like that. That makes a big difference. So that's just the money-making website. Project one, you can do for yourself. The next one for Sandy to walk through is an e-newsletter. So Sandy, I'll let you take it away.
So again, this is another way of producing content that you write on subjects that you love. So Pam has this example here of the power of probiotics. I mean, everybody takes probiotics now, right? So this person is turning it into a newsletter. Basically, what's happening when you're trying to develop a newsletter is you're creating a relationship with the person who is reading what you are writing about. In a newsletter, this is the cool thing about a newsletter. You could decide you want to do it, write a weekly newsletter. You could write daily. It's totally up to you how often you want to publish it. You can still maintain that relationship with your reader, who basically is becoming your audience, your following. And you just write about that particular subject. And as long as you're giving them a takeaway, something that they can feel like, wow, that's a neat piece of information. That's how you start to create that relationship. And then they're going to come back for more because they want to hear more from you about the newsletter, more. What else can you tell me? And it just keeps that whole thing rolling. And then you find that you're writing and writing and writing, and you're loving everything that you're writing about, especially there's something magical that happens when you write on a subject you're passionate about and the people that are reading it are responding. That is a magical moment when someone is saying to you, that was so great. I hadn't seen that before. That's a new piece of information. That is a big like pat on the back and a reward. And it only happens when you become this content creator. So again, we went and found out, well, who's doing some newsletters, so you can hit the slide, PM.
Yep. Okay. Now, Russ, we talked to Russ Henneberry, who has published The Click, which is awesome. And Sandy, I don't know if you want to walk through his comments.
Sure. So he said, because we were asked this, Pam and I asked of everybody here the same questions. We wanted to see what, you know, their answers were. And you're kind of finding that they're all saying the same kind of thing. For Russ, he said, I launched a newsletter because I was spending a lot of time and money trying to move people from content like a blog or social media post onto an email list. I wanted to start publishing content in the email channel first and then move that content to a blog or social media channels. So basically, that's why he started it, because he was trying to move his audience. So, and it worked for him. So how long did he have before he had success? I began selling advertising in the email once I hit 10,000 subscribers, which took 3 months. 3 months. That's all it took for him to be able to get that many subscribers and then start selling to their subscribers. That is a short amount of time.
Right. And I know that I was kind of around when he was launching this, and he told everybody on the planet about it through Facebook, LinkedIn, yes. email, his friends and colleagues in the industry, and just word of mouth. As you know, those of us who know him checked it out. We were like, oh, this is cool. You guys should read this. And it was like a spreading like wildfire kind of thing. It started out with who he knows mm-hmm. and then it built from there. And you can do the same thing.
Absolutely.
All right.
So tips for writers, Russ says you can create an audience in any channel using any medium, blogs, newsletters, podcasts, videos, it all works. Here we go. This is the common thing we're seeing with everybody, right? Figure out what you love to do and then do it repeatedly. And that is the important part, because if you're a content creator, you're creating content on a regular basis. Sometimes 2 to 3 times a week, depending on what it is that you're creating. And as Pam said earlier, you want to make sure you're writing on something you love, because you have to create content often. And honestly, when it is something that you love, it doesn't even feel like it's like you're, it doesn't even feel like it's taking you any time to write that content, because it's just pouring out of you onto the paper.
And if you've been through any kind of experience, like I have a friend, David Toman, who owns a website about nootropics, which is natural supplements. That's about all I know. But, you know, he is actually a person who benefited from them. And he started a blog and he wrote an ebook on nootropics. And now he's like the nootropics expert of the world. It's crazy, because he just was early into that world and it really helped him personally. So he can write about it with such passion and experience. So, you know, that's something you can do depending mm-hmm. on anything you love to do.
Very easy. Right.
Yeah. So now, this isn't exactly writing, but it is writing, because you have to write scripts for yourself. But video content is also something you as a creator can do. And I want to walk through that, because I'm just blown away by all the video platforms people are using today to gain an audience. And it can be anything. So the goal of a video content channel is to attract viewers and advertisers, post an ongoing series on a specific theme. You can do it on YouTube, TikTok, both other platforms, Instagram. And the thing is, the most popular video content that gets spread like crazy is educational and how-to. That's number one. Unboxing or assembling. Who here has bought something from IKEA and gone to YouTube to figure out how to put it together? I have. Or anything. How to get pine pitch off my car. YouTube, you know. And then testimonials also were awesome. But I found this gardening channel with James Prigioni, and he posts amazing videos on so like endless gardening topics. There are endless topics when it comes to gardening. So he's a superstar there, because his videos are great. Now we also have, oh my gosh, this 6-year-old makes $11 million a year reviewing toys on YouTube. I don't know if you've heard about this phenom. But he opens up toys and opens them in, like, unboxing, and then reviews them. So he'll open up something that just came in the mail and he's checking it out. And he's going, wow, this is cool. Or, you know, he's a superstar, and his parents and he are doing quite well, because he's just looking at presents. I mean, toys, and talking about them. Now, somebody who is a really wonderful leader in this industry that we have had teach and speak through AWI events. Andrew Davis, he owns a video channel called Monumental Shift. So I said, Andrew, tell us why you chose this niche. And he said, well, videos give you an opportunity to show multiple sides of your personality and to show things instead of tell things. So it seemed like a good way to share my marketing insights in a new and inventive way. There really wasn't much high quality marketing thought leadership content in the video world. So I chose to show as much as possible in a creative way so people would remember the concepts. So he steered away from boring and he made them. He makes videos that are hilarious and men on the street and pointing out stuff that's obvious that you just laugh and like, yeah, that's pretty obvious. But he's the one standing up for making marketing entertaining. And it's pretty great. Now, how long before success? So he said, in 2014, I wasn't making much money. Then I decided to treat speaking as a craft. So his what he's trying to sell are his speaking skills. And the videos are not only entertaining and educational, but they are an example that shows how well he is, as how, you know, what a great speaker he is. So when he focused on that, when he wanted to really show his speaking skills, you know, for events and conferences and that sort of thing, that's when the videos transformed. And it's really a crucial turning point for him. And he started making speaking income by being so entertaining. People were like, we got to have that guy instead of Mr. Boring. So he says the key to being successful in the creator economy is not just creating for creating sake, but really understanding how you're going to build a business out of it. So that's what his strategy was. And then his tips, he actually has three because he's an overachiever. Find a content hole in a market that is not being served with the highest quality content and fill that hole. Be consistent. Make an appointment with the audience and deliver on it. Do it religiously. If you fall off the wagon, you've lost your audience and your credibility, and that's a really big deal. You don't want to turn them away, or they think, oh, he must be done, or where'd he go? I don't know anymore. So stop doing other things that you think might work. Don't suffer from shiny object syndrome. If you really want to do this, just focus squarely on the one thing that you want to do and make it successful. You'll see much more success with focus. Okay. So Sandy, I don't know if you want to chime in on Andrew. He's a phenom. He's amazing.
He's amazing. And he is just creating his content, his video. And so you might feel like, wow, maybe you want to try that. If you're a little weary about having to write content 3 to 4 times a week, maybe just do a video instead. And it could take you, you know, 5 or 10 minutes that you film a short video on your subject matter. And you can do it that way. And we all know there's YouTube is big. But if you're filling this niche, if you're talking about the thing that you like and creating a video out of it, then that's just one more way to express yourself as a content creator. And then sometimes you might decide you want to write a script for a video. And then there, your writing comes into play. Maybe you want to write the script in advance of you filming the video. So you're still, it's still both things, I think, come out of this, whether it's you're writing the written word or you're creating a video. You could video yourself doing your writing. So there's so many things that you can do with this. But I think the key here is, like he's saying, and it's, we're hearing this, it's like a theme that's coming through from all of these content creators, is that you just focus on it and you just do it. And you will be amazed. We saw with Russ's example, it took him 3 months before he started to see where he had a big following and started making money. It really doesn't take that long. What it does take is that you consistently do it. What generally happens is people start and stop and you lose the momentum. And then that's when things go downhill. So it's like, once you say I'm all in for content creator, then go all in and focus in on it. And it'll take you 3, 6, maybe 9 months before you start to figure out, this is where I resonate with audience and this is where my success is going to come from.
Great. Okay. Now, I know you're going to talk about number 5 as well, Sandy. So maybe the two of us can talk about this one.
Sure.
But we have a lot of members and just people out there that I've noticed who are creating and selling courses. I have actually bought and signed up for video courses on watercolor painting or knitting or other interests of mine, playing guitar. I mean, I signed up for a place called Guitario where you see video courses on learning guitar. So anything that you know how to do, you can create a course on it and somebody will be fascinated and interested. And I once heard this person say, if you even know a little more than the person who finds your website, you're already a superstar to them. So let's talk about that. The goal in selling and creating courses is to share your expertise, and you don't even have to be a super expert. Just, I raised teenagers through the pandemic. Share that, you know, that's something that makes you an expert because you lived through it. Anything you can do to help others and then earn from that by having them sign up to take a course. They might pay $49 or $4,900. It's up to you to, you know, you create and sell these courses online, and then you deliver them. You can deliver them live, and then you can record them, and then you can sell the recordings as a package, and you can start with one and just grow. But anything you've been through in life or that you like, I mean, there are super fan bases for anything. I mean, making dog sweaters, there's a group for that. Model railway collectors, there's a group for that. You name anything on the planet that you're interested in, there's a group for
that. There is a group, and that's so true. My brother, he flies planes. And you know what he does? It's so crazy. He films himself flying his little plane and landing, taking off and landing. And he puts it on YouTube. And he's got a following.
Are these the remote control planes, you mean?
No, real plane. He has a little, you know, I don't know what you call it. It's a little plane. It fits two people. And because he got his pilot's license. And so he would watch videos of other people flying. So then finally, when he got bought a plane and then got his license, he's like, I'm going to do the same thing. And so it's so true what Pam's saying. There's a following for almost everything you can think of. And the question is, will you be the one at the top creating the content for all those followers?
Yeah. And, you know, the examples I'm going to show you right now are two authorities in a space. And I know that they are. And you're like, well, I could never be Bob Bly, who we're going to show you in a minute. But you don't have to be. You can be someone like this woman who teaches watercolor. She just created a course, and you look over the shoulder as she shows you the steps. And I wouldn't say she's a world-renowned artist. I've never heard of her before this, but she's ahead of me. She's showing me what to do, and I need to know that. So again, you do not have to be this, you know, global authority on anything. You could just talk about your experience and show others how you navigated something. So Bob Bly, who you probably know, or maybe you don't, but he is one of the most prolific content marketing writers ever. You know, he's written books on writing, copywriting. He has taught courses. He has spoken at our events. He's a real master. But it's really funny. He only launched into online courses 3 years ago. So he's starting new with that, just like anyone is. I know that's hard to believe, but trust me, he didn't know if it was going to work or not. So he said, you know, based on his career, his niche is copywriting, how to write copy, how to make money as a freelance writer, and then additional profit centers related to that, such as speaking, writing books, training, and info product marketing. Well, training is where his courses come in. So he said, I started teaching courses in the 80s. But in terms of online masterclasses, I started only 3 years ago. And to my surprise, it worked out. People are hungry for this. So anyone who can, anything that you can show someone how to do, there's a market for it. We do see this every day.
All the time.
I know. So today, you know, he focuses on marketing a funnel of his information products, which is eBooks and stuff, but they also include recordings of his masterclasses. So he feels compelled to pass on what he knows, he enjoys it, and he's making a profit from it. And that's really what any of us, we can do this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now,
so he has three tips. Take it away, Sandy.
So make sure you retain copyright ownership of every piece you create, because you don't want anybody else taking your work and duplicating it. Make sure you have all your content in an archive of written audio, video, master copies that you can easily find and access, because that's true. Once you start creating a lot of content, you don't want to be like, oh, wait, what did I write about that? So you want to be able to have it in an organized archive way. One plus two above your content gold mine, which is a course information market, is the mother lode from which you mine your course materials. So basically, he's taking all of that years of information he has and compiling it into a course. So you can do the same thing. Your knowledge of what you're an expert in, you can create a course around it. And as we said, there's always an audience somewhere. And course creation, it's so easy to do these days. There are so many free tools for people to create content in courses. One, I can tell you, if you want to test how to a course, there's a thing called Gumroad. It's meant specifically for people who want to create a course. And it gives you, you just can create your course and test it out to see if someone's going to like it or not. It's a free service. That's the other thing about this content economy, content creator economy, is there's so many free resources to help you get started. So that's
Gumroad.
Gumroad, G-U-M, road, Gumroad.
As in chewing gum road.
Chewing okay. gum.
I wanted to say that instead of gun, G-U-N, make sure it's G-U-M. Okay.
So cool. That's just, you know, you want to play around with it. That's just one area where you can figure out, well, can I do this course creation or not? Well, here, I'll try it here.
Yep. And so I'm going to tell you about Ryan Levesque real quickly, because he's someone who has dabbled in lots of different business niches. And this is what he told me. I love it. Early, I learned that there are riches in niches. I love that phrase. So I entered 23 different niche markets as diverse as Scrabble tile jewelry to orchid care. I fell in love with learning about new markets, and I refined a methodology for evaluating and choosing niche markets, the backbone of our second book, Choose, the single most important decision before starting a business. Somebody's asking, how do you pick? There's an idea right there.
Mm-hmm.
But he has something called the ask method that he has developed, which is how to build a website around a little quiz as an entry point where people come onto your website and they kind of self-select where they go within the site based on answering a few questions. So to show people how to really embrace that method, he does something called the Quiz Funnel Masterclass. So he's created a course on how to take his method and use it for any kind of business. So that's what he's done there. I said, you know, how long before you were successful on this? He said, the first thing I sold was a $17 ebook teaching people how to make Scrabble tile jewelry. That turned out to be a fad, and success was short-lived. And he laughs and then said, then I shifted my focus on a more evergreen market, orchid care, which is not as faddish. People are orchid fans forever. There are always new orchid fans coming along. And so in his first month, we only made $370, but within 18 months, we were making, are you ready? $24,000 a month on orchid care.
Whoa.
And then he just repeated that process with niche after niche. And within 3 years, we were making $117,000 a month.
Oh my gosh.
Hello. It took a while.
Creator economy.
I know. It took a while, and it took dabbling in different avenues to see what really got traction. So that's something I just want to caution you about. You could try something and it may not seem to be getting anywhere, and you're like, oh, I'm not good at this, or this isn't going to work. Try something else, because Ryan did. And boy, what a difference, right?
What a difference.
So you just have to keep going. Now, his number one tip, there he is, Ryan, in the words of Jerry Seinfeld, just write. And for me, he says, that meant writing a daily email to my, at the time, very small email list. It created a daily practice and discipline and forced me to improve my skill as a writer. My number one tip would just be that, those two words, just write.
Just write.
And now, so we're going to share some, sorry, Sandy, talking right over you.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, it's just so true what we said before. You know, the neat thing about this is you're having to produce content 2, 3, 4 times a week. You're writing, so you're improving your skill automatically.
Now, we're going to share some resources for you at the end, because I'm seeing some questions about, I've been blogging, but I'm not getting traffic, or, you know, how do we do this? We've got resources for you, but hang in there. We want to show you one more model, and that is LinkedIn publishing and other social network publishing. And Sandy, I want you to take this one, because this is one that you've really been dabbling in lately.
Yeah. So that's when back in October, when I stumbled upon it and said, whoa, look at all these people creating it on LinkedIn. And here, the whole time I was on LinkedIn, I thought, oh, it's just a place for networking for jobs. And it's become something completely different. There are 875 million people on LinkedIn. That is huge. Now, talk about an audience, creating an audience from that. That shows you how wide open it is. So you can take your niche, and then you've got so many people out there because they aren't just looking, as I said, for jobs. They want information. That's what LinkedIn has turned into, people who are seeking information. So you've got information seekers right at your disposal. If you're not on LinkedIn, I want you to go and get on LinkedIn, set up your profile, but get on there, because you're going to start see once you see how big this creator economy is, you can't unsee it. So Right. You're just going to be, all of a sudden, you're going to be like, you'll be in tune to all the content that's being created and the content creators that exist on LinkedIn. So you can go to the next one.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention why I picked this particular person. So it's not always business content either. This person is a vet, and she's talking about how to take your dog from panic for car rides to happy at the vet. And it's content about a success story of how a behavior method helped a dog get from the car to the vet without panic. So it's like, people on LinkedIn are human beings as well. They're not just business people. So there are a lot of dog owners, believe me, on LinkedIn. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. Dog owners are everywhere. So anything you can write about that helps a dog owner with a problem they may be facing, go for it. There is an audience, believe me. Here's some other examples you have, Sandy, if you want to talk about these.
Yeah. So again, once I started paying more attention to it, then I started seeing that there are these content creators. And one of the things they do is they're good at teaching people how to be content creators on LinkedIn specifically.
There you go.
But these are just a few people that I've come across on LinkedIn. There are so many more. And they all, you can see, they have different amount of people who follow them. One is 4,000, one is 10,000, one is 19,000. Those are people these people here that I'm showing you, they're putting out content on LinkedIn on a regular basis. They're building an audience and they have a product that they sell. So maybe they're selling a newsletter. A lot of them are selling courses, but they're doing it all on LinkedIn. So it's a very, very viable place to launch your course that you want to do, your newsletter. You can do it on LinkedIn because if there are any people out there, it's a proven, the concept is proven that it works on LinkedIn. This is just a handful. Once you get into the creator economy, you're going to find a lot more people. And then what's really neat is that they're very helpful and they are willing to give tips to help you succeed. So it's not like it's closed mouth and they don't want anyone else to be part of it, because there's 875 million people on LinkedIn. So there's no way that they can own everybody on there.
No.
So you can create value of your own and do it on LinkedIn.
That's so cool. So you walk them through how to do this.
So this is what I've been playing around with and testing to see if it works and finding out that it's true. You can create content on LinkedIn. So basically what you want to start out thinking when you're thinking about a niche, here's what I would say would help you is think about, what are the problems that people have, or what problem are you trying to solve? Because if you have a problem you're trying to solve, other people have that same problem. That's where you could start a product around. It's kind of hard to start out saying, well, I'm going to come up with a product. That's a harder way to do it. But if you think in terms of, how can I solve a problem that a lot of other people have and I have an answer to it, that's a much easier way to get started. Or as we said before, what is the thing that you're most passionate about? Where is your obsession lie? Because again, it goes back to, if you're going to write about this regularly, you want it to be something you're really passionate about. So think about what you would create in those terms. Can I solve a problem that is shared by many people? Or what is my real obsession and I'm going to write about it? And then you decide if you want to be a content creator on LinkedIn. On LinkedIn, all you do is you go down to the bottom underneath your profile, and LinkedIn has resources for you to become a content creator. You just switch creator mode on. Most people aren't even on creator mode, but if you decide, hey, I'm going to be a content creator because I'm going to develop a course on a particular program, I'm going to be an information publisher and I'm creating a course, then go down into the bottom of your profile section, look for the creator mode and turn it on. And what happens is, that allows people to start following you. So usually on LinkedIn, they want to connect. this case, they can still do that, but they don't have to. They can just start, you put out content and they just start following you. And that's how you grow your audience when you eventually create your course that you're going to sell.
Okay, awesome. And then after you do that,
so then to get that audience interested in, it requires you posting content right on LinkedIn. So this is my impressions of my post. So you can see before we started having those spikes, this is when I just sat on LinkedIn thinking, oh, it's just about job hunting. I never did anything with it until I realized it is a platform for creating content. So I started posting regularly about four to five times a week. And you can see when I did that, those spikes, those blue spikes, those are people who were reading my post and making comments and engaging with me. And so I was like, wow, this really works. So I wanted to test the proof of concept, and it worked for me. So I was creating content on LinkedIn and people were starting to follow me. And my followers grew, so like 200%. All of a sudden, I'm like, wow, people didn't have to connect. They were just following along with what I was writing. Mm-hmm. And I was just providing useful information. And they seemed to like it. And that, again, told me, okay, keep on doing it.
Awesome. I love that.
So as people follow you, then you start to make it easy for them to follow you and track you. And so whenever I make a post, I always put at the end of the post, hey, if you like more of this, just follow me here and give them that information. So the types of posts I write are, they could be text forms or they're carousel posts, which are really like a VSL almost, but they're colorful. And those really have a big reach on LinkedIn. So I'll do a lot of those. I'll take stories or my content and I'll just turn them into little PDF VSLs type of formats and then ask people to follow me. And that's how I build my follower. The other thing to do on LinkedIn, if you're kind of a little bit afraid of putting yourself out there and making a post, a good way to get started is to comment on other people's posts. So you don't want to just say, oh, I like that. You want to make a comment that is like very helpful, useful, that adds to the conversation. And then you start to get noticed. So the more you comment on other people's posts, the more you get noticed. Again, the more you start to build your audience and your followers. So if you're nervous about a post, just start commenting on other people's posts. And that's how you'll start to develop a following. People will be like, oh, I saw that you commented and I want to follow you. Same thing on Twitter, another place where content creation is growing like a mushroom or wildflower.
Mushroom, good.
Mushroom, yeah. See how I tied that back to Nick?
Yeah, clever. So,
it's the same way. It's the same thing. The social media is so great. We talked about YouTube as a form, like Andrew Davis does for his content. You can do content creation on LinkedIn and you can do it on Twitter as well. It's the same thing. You just start posting long form tweets, which you can make threads, and this shows you how to do it. So then you're just truncating out what your message will be into little short paragraphs. Again, you're giving good information. At the same time, you're building a following, and those followers then become your list that you're going to sell your course on. Here's an example. Hill Bloom, I found him on Twitter. He was an athlete. Now he's an investor, but a content creator. And he just has some really insightful stuff. He has the Curiosity Chronicle. And all it is, it's just every day, it's just really cool information. It's just, philosophical, it's about business, it's about life, it's about parenting. And he's got, look at how many people are following him. He's got his newsletter has 125,000 people. So again, and then he creates courses. He's got the whole thing. He's creating his audience on social media, he's creating his newsletter, and then he's creating the course. It's so easy to do. Once you see it again, as I said, you won't unsee it. And then you'll just see how all of a sudden you can take what you're so passionate about and start writing about it and being part of this huge growing content content creation economy.
Yeah, and I'm seeing a lot of questions. How do you make money on LinkedIn? And I just want to point out what Sandy just said. The examples we're showing you are people who are coaches. They have courses. They have eBooks you can buy. They have other things they can upsell. You know, they may have like events, you know, where you pay to go to a city and meet with them in person as a group. So they're using LinkedIn as a platform to grab attention and bring people in who are eager and interested in those things. And then they sell them the coaching and the webinars and the courses and all that stuff. That's how that works.
You get
the following, and then you can sell to the following because they love what you're writing. And they're like, yeah, I'm in. I want to do whatever he's saying. So that's how that works. Okay. Now you're thinking, okay, wow, mind blown. I'm thinking of something I want to write about or put videos out about. How do I do this? Well, we've got a bunch of resources for you. And we want to walk you through really quickly is that identify a topic you love. I mean, it could be something, anything. It could be, I decided to cycle across the country. How did I do that? I'm going to break it down. What gear did I use? What was the plan? How did I deal with weather? Where did I sleep? You could write forever on that one topic and people will follow you because they want to do the same thing and they don't even know where to start. So I'm telling you, any topic that you know something about or an experience in your life, think about writing about that and making that the core. Then choose a creator model. Will you be focusing on video? Will you be teaching courses? Will you be blogging and creating a newsletter that then sells to the audience different things you offer? And then learn all you can and just get going, start creating. And don't worry about being clunky at first. I love how Sandy just said, well, let me try this. And she has like in 3 months, you know, 203,000. I don't even know.
I just put in the chat in case anybody's interested. If you want to see how easy it is to do, I just put a link in the chat to a newsletter that I'm writing. And that's how I started this whole content creation. So you can go in and just see how it's done, how easily it's done.
Yep. And you know, you'll be clunky. I'll be clunky. If I try this tomorrow, I'll be clunky too.
Oh yes, but you'll get over those clunkiness.
And just try it. Use your own voice. Be authentic. Just try it. I mean, we have had some really amazing stories come out of people doing money-making websites to start with, but so much more. Somebody said, I've been blogging, but I don't get any traffic, or I have followers on LinkedIn, but I'm not getting any traffic. So we have seen a statistic that content creators say their top challenge is getting their content found, but we can show you how to do that. So AWAI resources, I'll start with the free. We have free stuff. We have articles and we have articles, we have reports, we have sessions like this on any topic you can think of. I believe we do have one that's focused only on money-making websites. So check those out and then check out our archives of blog posts. You can pick by topic, by category. Might even pick by author, but really if you want to pick a category, you know, there's a money-making website category. So check that out and see what we offer. And one of the things to get found is searches. So people go online to find things like went online to find out how to put this IKEA bookcase together or how to get, you know, pine pitch off my car or how to do this. That's what people do every day. They go online and search how to grow an orchid when I live in Alaska. Okay. So if your content uses phrases that matches what people are searching for, that is the core to getting found. If you're just writing from the heart and saying, I did this and it was great. Well, that's not relevant because people won't know what this actually is. So I learned how to stop my infant from crying in the middle of the night. I learned how to get my dog to stop chewing things. Whatever that phrase is that people are looking for online, be a great resource for that and make sure your content has that instant relevancy, that instant match for people searching. That's really how you get found. You match what people are searching for in your topic. So there. Now, we do have programs that go through all of these things in great detail, including how to produce them, how to write them, how to find an audience, how to choose the right keywords for getting found, how to upsell in those pieces. You know, we go through all of that in these programs, and you could pick any one of them and you'd see that it's very methodical and we show you exactly what you need to do. So the one on the left is how to write your own money making websites. There's the link there. The one on the middle is how to write video scripts if you want to be a YouTube superstar. That's the link there. And then how to write engaging e-newsletters is another program that does all of this, that you can take to work with clients or actually for yourself to build your own asset. And now, this week, we're launching something brand new, how to create a course to grow your business and your income. This is something we're just rolling off the presses. It's all about creating your own course on anything that you know about. It walks you through how to do that. And I've got a little list here, how to create a course online, and then how to market it through a special report you might create or an email list you might develop, social media, webinars, and then how to build a community of followers and buyers, the most important thing, and even help others do this. You could actually, after you go through this program and start doing it yourself, you can actually provide a service for other income, helping other people do this too. Because maybe someone has a great idea, but they're not a writer and they really don't want to be a writer. You can write for them. You can teach, you can guide them through that. You can be a ghostwriter for them. You can write their eBooks. You can write their courses. So that's another angle of that. So this is the link here, awa.com, create a course. And I hope you check it out because we're super excited about it. There are bonuses too. How to know if you have a profitable course idea. I can't remember. Let's see, Hayes, is there a method for choosing the one thing? Why, yes, it's in a bonus in that course. There are other ways too. That book I showed you, Choosing by Ryan Levesque. There are also checklists, and then there are creating other profitable content such as eBooks. That's all in this program. So check it out. We just are so excited about it. It's just hot off the press, and we're using a lot of examples in the program so you can see exactly how each person actually pursued and did this.
It's a great resource. So if you're thinking, I want to create a course, I want to put all of my years of experience and knowledge into a course, this is going to show you how to actually do that. How do you go about, because you know, there's pieces to the course. So you like, how do I do, what do I put first? This gives you like an outline to follow of how do you create that, put it together in a way that's going to be meaningful to the person who's taking your course. So this is all in one that walks you through creating a course that you're going to then sell to your followers. Remember, you're the content creator now, and you're creating courses based on things that you are passionate about.
Yep. And we have a COS member. Hi, Kathy. Asking if it's available to COS members. It is. It's part of your catalog. It should be right there today when you log into your My AWAI list. Now, let's see here. We have time for questions. Instead of putting up the question slide, I'll keep this up if you want to check it out. But Valentina or Cozy or Barb, do we have specific questions that you saved for us? I'm looking over here. There's a lot. I just want to make sure. Infinity members, yes. If you're an Infinity member, that's part of your catalog too. So COS and Infinity, it's already there for you. But if you're not that, check out this link. Okay, FJ, thank you. He said before you got to the resources and the new courses was a very helpful discussion. I'm so glad. That's always our goal.
Yes.
We want to educate and inform and inspire during these Inside AWI sessions. So I'm glad that you like that. Oh, we're getting thanks.
Good.
I don't know how long the price is good for. Maybe somebody in the back end can fill you in there. Okay, what other questions? Let's see. Red Bull gives you wings. I don't even need Red Bull. I get so excited about this stuff. I could talk all day about it. No Red Bull needed. okay, so Yeah, we do have questions. I'm seeing, I have a newsletter on LinkedIn that grew fast, but how would I make money on it? Again, where do you want to take those people? Do you want to take them to a course or an ebook that you're offering or coaching or a webinar you're doing? That's really up to you. Mm-hmm. But if you've got a following, you can certainly...
Yeah, create a course for them. And then in your LinkedIn newsletter, let them know about the course that you've created. So you can give them a link to it. So that's how you can start to, sell your product. So if you're creating a course or whatever else you want to add to it, then you want to let your current followers who are reading your newsletter know. You could even do it. You could tell them that you're getting ready to create one and you want to get on a waiting list. So you could do it that way.
Yep. I love that. Now we have a few questions about copywriting your content because Bob Bly said that's absolutely something you should do. Now I'm not a legal expert at all. So I don't even want to go there. I would rather have you Google it and figure out or talk to an attorney that you know on copywriting your content. I do believe some people say that when you publish your content with a date on it, that is a copyright, but don't quote me on that, please, because I'm not an attorney or a legal expert at all. So I on my own website, I have copyright on the bottom and that's published. And I believe that is proving my copyright. But do you know anything about this, Sandy? I hate to...
No, not a lawyer. So, I know for Bob is very much dot your I and cross your T's type of guy. So for him, that was important for no one. And I can understand in his case, he's a legend. He's a big guy in our industry. So he doesn't want people taking and repurposing or reusing his content without his permission or doing anything with it. I don't know. I think for everyone here just starting out, that may not be a big issue until you grow in size and you become like a Bob Lye or a Ryan Levesque. And you have a multi-million dollar business, then maybe you worry about making sure it's copyrighted protected. But as you're just starting out, I think you just want to make sure that your idea works, that you can get an audience and you can sell a product. And then you can worry about those business logistics side of things. And when you get to that, then you can find someone who's well-versed in copyrights.
And Steve Maurer just posted a copyright link. Thank you. I appreciate that. If you look through the Q&A, you guys will see that. Let's see, Michael is asking, does introducing paid ads after the content started without them, does that turn off some of your followers? And my answer to that is, if it's done in a way that doesn't interrupt the main content, the core content, it should be okay. Because if you look at copydetective.com or incrediblemushrooms.com or theworkathomewoman.com, you'll see how that's done in a classy way that doesn't break up the user experience of the site. And actually, if it's done the right way, the ads are welcome because it's relevant and it leads people to something they might want to buy. Like Nick has on his Coffee Detective site, reviews on brewing things or ads on coffee filters. Mm-hmm. And those are totally relevant. So it's not annoying. It's actually welcome.
And I think if you're, let's say, for example, you're writing a newsletter and you want to have an ad in your newsletter, you can just say something like, this is a sponsor and it helps keep this newsletter free, And so then it's like, then you have the ad in your newsletter, but you put it out there like, this is a sponsor who is sponsoring this newsletter so I can continue to write it. Something like that is not offensive. And then people will, they'll click on the ad and then you'll get paid your commission or however the arrangement is. But you could present it however you position the ad. It could be just like that. And people are like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I have one person I read a newsletter and he says all the time, he's like, hey, keep this newsletter free. Here's a message from a sponsor of mine. And I don't mind hearing that at all.
Yeah. And sometimes it's welcome. It's not, you don't mind. It's like, oh, cool. I didn't even know about that. I'm going to go check that out. So. For example, I signed up for these watercolor classes and they're going to talk about supplies, right? What are the best supplies to get? And they might say, well, you want to make sure that your brushes are not polyester. I'm making this up because they might fray or whatever. So I recommend real something. I'm just trying to make up an example, but it's relevant. It's totally relevant because I'm sitting there going, I don't know what supplies to get. So the person I signed up for classes with is helping me, and she's making commission if I buy that, those supplies. So to see how that works, it's a good thing. It's when it's done right, you're leading your followers to something good that they could find value in. Okay. Let's see. Steve's asking, with the success of doing just one or two things, do people get started on other projects because they want to make more money, help others in the growth of their writing career, or it's just fun when you get into it and one wants to just do more? I think that was Ryan Levesque's model.
Yeah.
He said, okay, we're making money on orchids. What else can we do? This is fun.
Right. I think the answer is all three. You once you do it, you love it. You don't want to stop doing it. You want to keep on creating, and you are making money. So you probably want to make some more money. So I think it can be all of them. And it can be, the thing about content creation is you can pick how much money you want to make. So if you just want to make if you want to just have a nice, simple lifestyle, and you want to make, say, an extra couple hundred thousand a year, that's fine too. There are no rules on what you can and cannot make as a content creator. So if you wanted just to make it to subsidize your income, or that you want to become, this is your full-time thing like Holly does with her her website, then that's the path you choose. So there's no right or wrong in how you want to handle your content creation and what you want to get out of it.
Okay, Sandy, Susan loves your new hairdo, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so let's see, what do you have to do to keep ownership of your own content, especially when there's so many words going around? If you put your content through a plagiarism check, there may be a percentage that may infringe on someone's. I would contact an attorney. If you're seeing someone stealing your stuff, I would contact an attorney. And again, I am not one, so that's as far as my knowledge goes on that. But, you know, sometimes people steal AWAI stuff too, and we have an attorney who chases them down. So you might have to do that. But, you know, I've had a website for 100 years and nobody's stolen it. Maybe because it's not that great, my freelance website. But I recently did a check to see if it was lifted anywhere, and it's not. So there are tools out there. But I wouldn't worry about that.
I wouldn't either. I think just getting started, and you know, don't worry about problems that you don't have yet. It's not a problem if you haven't created. If you're not a content creator, plagiarism isn't your problem right now. Your problem is getting your content created and get going with it. That's where your real focus is.
Yep, and getting a following, right?
Yes.
But remember, if you're interested in something, other people are interested in it too. Trust me on that. I have all these different hobbies, and there's a giant fan group for that. If you ever wanted to learn how to play guitar, suddenly you're on the guitar email list of the world, and I get catalogs this thick, and it's wild. So I'm telling you, there's something that you do that will be of interest to a big following. So with that, I hope we have answered every question. We've motivated you to check it out, and keep us posted. If you do, go for it.
Yes.
Yeah,
we'd love to hear about your progress, and we want to see what kind of course you create. So be sure you get a hold of this program, and that'll be one of the things. You could start with a course right away. So this is going to show you how to do it. So I wouldn't hesitate to, you know, if you want to become a content creator, which I think should be the goal of every writer eventually, I would go ahead and get this program. It's going to give you, it's going to answer some of those questions that are in your head right now.
A lot of them, yeah. All right. Thanks, Sandy. Thanks, everybody behind the scenes for the Q&A and running the show here. And we'll see you next month with another Inside AWAI. Thank you.
All right. Bye.